Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. Today we are looking at Letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer.
Lord, we thank you for the gift of life you have offered to us. We thank you for this time to come together and praise you and worship you. And now, Lord, as we gather around your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You, our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. Now envision me standing in front of the Bredor Lake. When I was young, growing up outside of Bridgewater, there was a small lake just down the road from us. In fact, it was more or less behind our house, but it was ways back in the woods. And so we would get there through a logging, kind of a logging type road, and we would get there in less than 5 minutes by our bicycles. It was really close. And so in that lake, we would swim, we would fish, and it was just kind of a big part of our summers. You know, fishing was a great spot. I caught 5 fish there one evening, which really ticked off my neighbor because his hook was this far away from mine, and he caught nothing. So, but I'm not to talk about fishing. I'm talking about more of the swimming part, the aspect of our time on that lake. Actually, I don't even know if you call it a lake. It was kind of a big pond, more than anything. If you wanted to, you could have swam across it very easily, but nobody really wanted to because there's all kinds of weeds, and who wants to swim through weeds? So anyway, so there's this pond basically behind my house. And many days we spent on this pond through the summer. You know, we had this kind of rudimentary kind of raft that, when I look back, I'm not sure how we survived playing on it because it was really rough. And, you know, it would flip over in a moment's notice and all these sorts of things. But we had a good time spending days. We could spend all day on the lake. We could hang it on the raft. We could sit on the shore. We could swim as we wanted to. We could do pretty much whatever we wanted. So the question every spring then was, when are we going to go swimming? When are we going to get in the lake, the pond? And so once I got to junior high school, we would try to get in as early as possible, which most often meant the May long weekend. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, wouldn't that be cold? And the answer is yes. Very much yes. It was cold. So it was freezing cold. The thing about mid-May is that in the rest of the province, we get nice weather. Not so much here lately anyway. But you can always count on some nice warm days in May. And so that would be kind of our trigger that we need to get into the lake. Now we all know it takes a lot of hot days to warm up a body of water. But as teenage boys, of course, it was more about the adventure or maybe the bragging rights that we got in there first. We were the first ones in for a swim. Of course, that inspired us all kinds of ways. Now, these were not the day-long swims, of course. It was get in the water, swim around, get out, get home, and get warm. It was very quick, and we weren't out there very long. But we were the first, and that's all that mattered. And was it refreshing? You bet it was. Now, in some ways, those chilly dips in the pond are signs that summer is on its way. Right? It all gave us something to look forward to. Now, we might not get back into there for a few more weeks, but we were ready. We were definitely ready. This dip in the water kind of was our sign that summer is coming as we counted down those last few weeks of school. And we all like something to look forward to, right? You know, with the nice weather we've had the last few weeks, of course, today didn't work out for us, but we're going to have a nice week again coming up. We've had a nice week gone by. And so we begin to look forward to the summer. We look forward to when the kids and grandkids are out of school, when people have vacation, and we can get out and start to do the things we love. You know, we can get out and we have the family barbecues. We can get out to the parks. We can get out hiking and by the water, beaches, you know, soccer, baseball, all these great things that we love to do in the summertime. And there's so many options here in Cape Breton, right? So it's good to have something to look for, and it's even healthy when you think about it. You know, looking forward to those nice summer days, especially after the winter we've had. I'm still not sure my back's recovered from all the shoveling, right? But we're looking forward to that warm summer. We can get outside and just enjoy it. But I think we can hold off on the swimming for a few more weeks. Now, as Christians, we also like to have something to look forward to. And we look forward to living for all eternity in the presence of God through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is a wonderful gift we're offered by our Father, our Heavenly Father, the one who longs for us to come home to Him. And as a people who profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have received this gift of love offered freely. So when Shaylin read from the letter of Paul to the Roman church, he's lifting up a pretty interesting question for all of us to consider. And the question is, if we received a great gift of love and grace from God, does it matter then how we live? If God loves us unconditionally, as the Bible tells us He does, then does it really matter what kind of life we live here on the earth? It sounds to me that there's a message, there's always a reason why we write letters, right? And if you look at the Bible, there's always a reason, if they're going to take all that work and make sure it gets to wherever it's got to go, that there's a definite reason why they're writing a letter. And so it sounds to me like those early Christians were struggling with how to live their lives, of what it meant to live a life for Christ. It sounds like they have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They've brought Him into their hearts. They've received the grace and love of God. And they realize that there's nothing they can do to make God love them less. So maybe they started to take advantage of it. And I think you might see why that's not a good idea. Yet they still did it. They still chose things which were considered to be sinful. So Paul's writing this letter to show them the error of their ways, to try and bring them back in line with what a godly life looks like as a follower of Jesus Christ and how Jesus showed us we're supposed to live. Paul tells us we're all connected to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And we saw Him be baptized by John and when he started his ministry. And baptism is a sign that we're being cleansed and to get ready for God, to receive Jesus. Yet Jesus, when He took His baptism, you know, roughly 30 years old, when He was baptized, it was made something more. Because when Jesus comes up out of the water, we read that Holy Spirit of God descended on Him like a dove. And we heard the voice, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him." So through Jesus' baptism, we see that is an actual receiving of God's grace and God's love in our lives. So what Jesus turned this ritual into something real, a moment when God enters us and it becomes visible and it's tangible. We can see it, we can witness it, we can touch it. So it's clear. So now it's clear that God is in Jesus and Jesus is with God throughout His earthly ministry. Paul reminds us that in our own baptisms, we are now connected with Jesus in a powerful way. We too have been made holy by the Holy Spirit. And through our baptism, we are promising to follow Jesus, to follow His way as we are made one with Him. Which then means if we're one with Christ in our baptism, that we're also one with Him in His death. In His death, Jesus died to the sin of the world and even our own sin. So if we're baptized with Jesus and if we die with Him to sin, this means we have also died to sin. Does this mean we'll never sin again? No, of course not. We're human beings with human emotions and human reactions. We will still make mistakes. We will still sin. Now, if you can say that since you've accepted Jesus into your life that you've never sinned, well, then you're a very, 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 very special person. Because the rest of us, we all sin still. We still make mistakes. We don't want to sin. We just do. It's the way we are. But when we realize we've sinned, we kind of feel bad that we've done it. Because we know we've probably disappointed God in some way. But there's good news. Because we are one with Jesus Christ, and because we recognize our sin, usually pretty quickly, we're able to lay it before God and ask for His forgiveness. And in doing so, we're often pretty sincere about it too, because we realize that we've probably let God down and we want to make things right. We know how sin has impacted our life before, and we don't want it to happen again. We don't want to fall into that trap, that way of living. Because sin impacts our ability to be close to God, to know God. But it also impacts how others see God. Because if people look at us and we call ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus, and if they see us living and doing all kinds of sinful things, then what are they going to think about God? So when we catch ourselves sinning, we need to repent. And then we also need to remember how God wants us to live. And all of this because we are one with Jesus through our baptism. Now, some days, don't you think it'd be easier if we could just wake up in the morning and remember our baptism? Maybe have a cup of water on our nightstand and get up and splash ourselves with some water and say, right, yes, I'm baptized with Jesus, so I'm going to live my life for Him today. Now, if only it were that easy, right? But we are indeed one with Christ because He took our sin to the cross and gave His life for our lives. In our baptism, we are one with Jesus in both His life and His death. But it doesn't end there. When we die with Christ to our sin, as He did on the cross, we're also one with Him in His resurrection. We are alive with Christ for all time. Jesus showed us in His resurrection that sin and death cannot hold us down. Sin and death are not the end. They are not the be-all and end-all of this life. So often we let our sin define us, right? We'll look in the mirror and we'll see all the terrible things we've done. And we just keep reminding ourselves that we've done it. We keep making these mistakes. And we beat ourselves up over it. We say we're not worthy of what Jesus has done for us. You know, we beat ourselves up. We keep falling short, and that's who we are. We are weak human creatures. We're creatures of habit, and those habits are not always good, healthy ones, right? The thing is, though, Jesus still stands victorious. He still shows us that this life, this broken, sinful life we live, is not what defines us. What defines us is how we seek to follow Jesus Christ, how we live for Him. We need to look beyond our failures. We need to look to what Jesus is offering us. And that means trying to avoid sin. It's not easy, but if we do sin, we seek forgiveness from God. It may even mean we need to seek forgiveness from the person we might have harmed. It means we make things right and ask God to help us see the right way next time. We hope that we can learn and respond more faithfully when it happens again. Hopefully we can get it right next time. This is who we are. This is how we need to define our lives of children of God and followers of Jesus Christ. We need to die to sin and live to Christ. So my question for you this week is, who or what will define you this week? Will it be your mistakes, your failures, your sin? Or will it be your life in Jesus Christ, the one who is alive in you? And of course, I encourage you to choose life. I encourage you to choose Jesus. Because he can bring us new life. So like a cool dip on a early spring morning, let's let Jesus refresh us. Let him renew us and give us new life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in you we have abundant life. You've shown us that our sin does not control us, that it does not define us, that it is dead to us because you have overcome it. You've shown us that when we give our lives to you, you will define who we are as we seek to follow in your way. It's in your so very generous love that we have life, a life that we can never find on our own. What love and grace you have for us that you would take all of our sin and die with it to give us this life. So help us to live in you, Lord Jesus. Help us to see how much greater life will be when we submit ourselves to you. This we ask in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.